Welcome to episode 36 of the Borussia Dortmund London Fan Club podcast. Today, a special show, 25 years since the Atlanta 1996 Olympic gold medal for the Nigeria national team. And one of the key players was one of our own Borussia Dortmund players, Sunday Olise. Good afternoon, Sunday Olise. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely great. No, it's really nice to talk to you. And yeah, you're our first BVB player of from Nigeria, and it's really cool to talk about your amazing career. With a little summary of your career as I see it, basically. So as you told me earlier, you are 63 times Nigeria international. And I know that you played for Borussia Dortmund from 2000 to 2004. You also won the title with Borussia Dortmund, but you'll be telling us more about that. And you also played for Liège in Belgium and Regina in Italy. Of course, you're also very well known for having played for Erste FC Köln, the famous Bundesliga club, and you also played for Ajax, the record champions of Holland, and had an incredible opportunity there with Juventus, playing alongside players like Zinedine Zidane and Edgar Davids. Although it wasn't the best for you in 1999, it was still obviously an incredible pinnacle of a career to play for the greatest team in Italian history. That's just my opinion. Maybe you don't agree, maybe you do, but we're here to discuss that. So and of course you had a short loan spell with VfL Bochum as well, where you achieved the UEFA Cup. Let's start basically by just discussing your early life, let's say in Nigeria, and then how you came to be a professional player, and obviously what it meant for you to be part of that team in 1996 at the Olympics to win the gold medal. I guess that you keep the gold medal somewhere special. I'm just imagining that, along with maybe one of your former Nigeria shirts. You probably keep them somewhere very, very special.
Oh, the Olympic gold that I keep in a vault in the bank that I don't keep at home. So for obvious reasons.
Sure.
And also, once in a while, I just go fetch it for the kids or for occasions in the house. We just laugh about it, and it's exceptional. It's like it's the world title that I have, so something like that. So.
Yeah.
But growing up, I grew up in Nigeria, like you asked, and I grew up. I left Nigeria at a very young age.
Yeah.
Where I came, started my career in Liège, and gradually grew from step to step, higher and higher. And so eventually, and obviously at the club level, one of the pinnacles was Borussia Dortmund. So that was...
Absolutely. So essentially, what age were you, would you say, when you really decided that you wanted to become a professional footballer, or where you felt that you could see that there was a career there for you in playing professional football?
Well, I didn't decide it. It kind of like fell on me, in the sense that I got a proposal to come to Belgium for a trial as a professional soccer player by some managers, and which I did. And I came, and it just clicked from then. And I was more focused before then. I wanted to go to school, get myself a degree, and like most people, get a job and, you know, something like that. But football to precedence, and it's the greatest decision I ever made to want to play soccer.
I heard that talent scouts, I think you said it in an interview a couple of years ago, they came over to Nigeria to check you out amongst other players, and they signed you up even without seeing you play, just on the basis of a report from some talent scouts in Nigeria. Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. And in fact, I released my memoirs just 3 months ago, two, 3 months ago, called The Audacity to Refuse. And how I came into the limelight, it's detailed inside of it. It's a book that's available now on my website and on Amazon.
Right.
So it's something that there's a lot about Borussia Dortmund inside also. So it's kind of like covers my whole career. So it's like you rightfully said, the scouts are heard. Just like it's almost the same with most players. The scouts hear tips about a good player. But in my own case, I think I was just blessed because when they had come to see me play, I couldn't play because I was taking my exams at school. So, but that notwithstanding, they felt, okay, we've heard enough about this guy. Let's get his papers ready. Let's bring him to Europe. So it's kind of like destiny in a way. God wanted it that way.
Absolutely. Well, you're talking to the right guy because I'm a Christian myself. And so I was really honored to talk to you. And I feel as if I must read your book because I'm going to see a lot of God's will in your book. And it's an incredible story, obviously.
Let's face it. When you're zero and God and you become 100, it's because God wants you to be.
That's great.
If he's against you, then I feel sorry for you. So
it's like, yeah. And also, I thank you as well that you bless me with this show with the Borussia Dortmund fans in England and tell us about your life. So basically, there you are in Belgium and you have your first kind of steps in 1990 with Liège before you get a contract to move to Italy. What were your first impressions, basically, of playing in Europe? Was it very different to playing in Africa? I know the transition can be quite difficult for some players.
Because it was excruciatingly difficult.
Yes.
It was very, very difficult initially. Let's just say that I think the fact that I was brought up in a Christian home where my parents taught us the values of God himself, of the divine being, I think that was what really got me through those hard times, because I felt man can do or say whatever they want, but I had something special behind my back that was, it kind of like makes you feel a bit invincible sometimes, mm-hmm. because you always feel like, okay, they can throw anything at me, I'll get through. So that's how those difficult times I was able to get through. And I met some remarkable people along the way, some that are still very friendly with till today, and they helped me through.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you see with some players like Mo Salah or Mohamed Salah or also Pogba as well, you just see there's something, some magical spark, Ronaldo, Messi. And as I said, I'm a huge fan of the 90s football, 80s and 90s. And so I remember your career very well, also 2000s and so on. And it was really very much something I wanted to do, was to be able to interview you as I'm such a fan of that era. So it's very, very interesting to talk to you. And I'm really looking forward to talking about the era with Borussia Dortmund. But before we get to Dortmund, you moved then to Italy to play for Regina Calcio. How was it there playing in Italy? What was your first experience? Obviously, it's a much warmer, sunny climate than playing for FC Cologne or Borussia Dortmund or even Ajax, which must have suited you quite well.
Well, that's true. The weather did help in Italy. But those were times where we had very limited foreigners in the Italian league. Each club was at the maximum of three foreign players.
That's right. I appreciated those times. I think that was a good way for developing local talent rather than just buying in a whole team. Like sometimes we see with Arsenal, they play with 11 foreign players. Doesn't make sense to me.
There are pros and cons to that, you know, in the sense that the world is globalized now. So football does not exist in isolation, I think. So it's an image of the world itself. So I think that's why it's changed. But at the time in Italy, it was really, really competitive. It was the most competitive league in the world, the most lucrative one. So the best players in the world were all in there. You had the Diego Maradonas, even Lothar Matthäus. You had the Klinsmann. You had the you know, all the best, George Weah, even went there. So it was,
everybody now wanted. President of Liberia.
So it's where everybody wanted to go. So getting to Reggiana, the club itself was, I kind of like, I also explained it in detail in my book, the club itself was going through some changes. They felt that this will, so we were kind of limited as regards the manpower we had. But that did not, God willing, thanks to God, it did not stop me from having a good progression, mm-hmm. enough to the point of being bought over by FC Cologne eventually at the end of it. So it was probably a great time in my, it lasted 1 year, but I got to eat some great Italian meals, so it was good.
So I guess a lot of people would love to know if you're a huge fan of Italian food in that case, or would you prefer German food, actually?
No, with all respect to my German friends, I loved Italian food. So, in fact, a lot of my German friends also eat more Italian than German. So.
Tell me, what's your? We're going to come to Germany now. You moved to FC Cologne, and I guess some of the football players I know. I interviewed Martin Kreh. I don't know if you remember him. He was a great Borussia Dortmund player, Martin Kreh. But he said to me, he's also a Christian and a really good guy. And he said to me, I said, how did you celebrate the 1997 Champions League win? And did you have some beers after the game? He said to me, I've never touched a drop of alcohol in all my life. I guess kind of, did you have some Kölsch when you were in Cologne? Did you try the local beer? Or are you also a guy who's teetotal? You're just basically a sportsman predominantly. You don't touch any beer or wine or anything.
I never drink. I don't even know what it tastes like.
So, I was expecting that answer.
Yeah, but that's the truth. I don't drink. I can't really tell you what alcohol tastes like. But I know once I smell it, I know it's alcoholic.
Yeah.
And if any drink mistakenly comes to my lips, it burns. So I know it's alcohol. So so it's not like that. But I must confess that a lot of my friends do, and I have alcohol at home when I get visitors and friends come by.
Yeah.
My brother drinks and something like that. But that notwithstanding, in Köln, it was great. They were great 2 years. I really enjoyed playing at Köln.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite clubs of all time. So,
you had a great pedigree. I mean, you were in the footsteps of Anthony Baffo, the former Ghana player who most recently has been, I think he's been vice president of the CAF, the Confederation of African Football Federations. And of course, he was a huge Bundesliga player, one of the first, with Anthony Yeboah, who you'll remember, the other Ghanaian as well. Those were all guys then from the 80s and 90s players. What was it like at FC Cologne? What a great atmosphere. I always loved that music they play at the beginning, FC Köln, that the atmosphere on the Südtribüne there. It's really, the Dortmund fans have a great relationship. Münsterstadion. Stadion.
Oh, the atmosphere. It's not, I think it's lost a bit of it at the moment, probably due to the new, but the, the suit tribune, you know, with the fans, I had a special relationship with them. They really treated me like one of theirs. And that was a time where we didn't have a lot of colored players in the Bundesliga. Okay. But the way they treated me, you would not know I was African. You would not know. I was just, some of my friends used to call me the German Nigerian then. Because I was kind of like adopted by the Köln fans. Yeah. And also by the Dortmund fans, in all fairness. Because I remember Dortmund fans, even they gave me a song, I remember. I played with my daughter not long ago on the internet. Very, 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 very nice of them. Köln for me was special. It was special in the fact that the first year we struggled mm-hmm. from the sporting side. We went through three coaches in a period of 10 months. But the second year was exceptional. I just came back from the Olympics. We were Olympic champions, beaming with so much confidence and self-belief. And the team kind of just went with my flow. And we were beating almost everybody on the top five. They lost to us at one point, you know. So it was, except for Dortmund. Dortmund beat us twice. That was, I remember, they beat us 3-0 at home, and we lost 2-1, I think was my last game when I was leaving.
So we're talking about between 1995 and 1997, and at that time, Borussia Dortmund had just won two championships back-to-back, and then in 1997, they won the Champions League, beating Juventus Turin, who, of course, you knew from your time from Regina. Were you already very impressed by Borussia Dortmund? Because at that time, I guess you didn't know that you'd be joining them only a few seasons later.
Well, Dortmund at the time had a special team. They had world champions beating. You had players like Jürgen Kohler, you had Stefan Reuter, you had, even though he was not a World Cup winner, Matthias Sammer, but he was there. You had Andy Moller. So it was very solid team. And they had the Brazilian, Julio Cesar. So it was very, very solid team. You know, so they were the superstars of the league at the time. But then also, we had also the Bayern Munich team. They were also star-studded. Although at that time, they were more called more the Hollywood Bayern than they are now. Now they've become much more stable for the past 15 years now, 15, 20 years. So the league itself was exceptional. It was star-studded. It was physical. It was fast, aggressive. And you either wake up or you get kicked out. So.
Some people say that the Premier League is the tough league, the fast league, the impactful league, the toughest league, maybe the most aspirational league. And I know that from, I worked in Ethiopia as a football coach for one year, working with orphans in a Christian mission, which I really enjoyed. It was absolutely amazing. I was there for 5 months in total. And English football is so popular in Africa. I mean, I know that everybody's watching, follow Liverpool, Arsenal, and so on. Is it a regret of yours that you never played in the Premier League? And also, do you think that Premier League is much tougher to play in than German football, just from what you observe as a player? And also talking to all your colleagues and friends from the Nigerian national team.
Well, to start with, I think the German League is... I don't think the Premier League is tougher than the German League. It's just better mediatized. The media is just more, the attention is on it.
Marketing,
The German League is complete. The German League is complete. You play the last team, you see them also. No. It's difficult to explain to people because they never played it. You know, and they never saw what the German League is like, to those who have not seen it. But also, when you ask if I regret playing in the English Premier League, nah. Not at all, because I refused offers several times to go to the English Premier League. Well, not that I refused. I preferred to go somewhere else at the time. Mm-hmm. When I got offers from the Premier League, you know, there was a time we had an offer that would have brought me to Manchester United, also Newcastle. And also we had an opportunity once to go. We went into discussion also with clubs like Everton, who sent in offers, and Ajax said no. No way, no even discussion. So it was like that. The German league, you have to go there to see it. Huh? It's you don't win the German league by mistake.
You're talking to the right guy. I mean, I'm a German. I write on the Bundesliga, and I'm doing my PhD on this subject. So I'm absolutely passionate about the German Bundesliga, and it's incredible to talk to people who have so much experience like yourself of playing in the German league. And for me, it's the most disciplined and the best system of football, and the one that provides the best for the pyramid, the basis of football, basically. It develops a very strong national team, and with a huge success, 4 times world champions. I mean, you can't really argue with that, can you? I mean, let's be frank with you. Although the national team has been weak recently, at the end of the day, the German league is hugely successful, commercially viable. The clubs, most of them make profits. Mm. Great to watch, very kind on the eye. The discipline is visible, and the quality of the stars nowadays is absolutely outstanding. Sometimes I find the English leagues like the NBA of football. Basically, you're watching all these absolutely cream of the cream stars. But I prefer the German league because the guys who are there, as you said, they're 100% committed and it works. It just flows. And it's the fans league because we're going in there, we're paying £20 to get in, €25, let's say, which in England is about, you know, 50 or 60 euros to get in, 70 sometimes. So it just feels like the right deal in Germany. So I absolutely love it. And of course, Borussia Dortmund is the best experience. But just briefly, which players do you especially remember from your time in FC Cologne? Any particular player you want to remember who was a real friend of yours? Maybe an anecdote or small story?
Well, first from my book launch, which we did 2-3 months ago, there are so many players are all fresh in memory at the moment at the time, at this moment. But my best friend at the time, and still is one of my best friends in life, is Pablo Thiem. We are roommates, and he was practically like my brother then. We were always inseparable. We had some very good players at the time. We had players like Tony Polster, that's, you know, the Austrian guy. We had the Romanian Dorin Muntianu there. We had also, at the time, even Bodo Igna, a World Cup winner.
Team, yeah.
Eventually left us for Real Madrid. So it was, in a way, it was, even Bruno Labbadia was there when I was playing in there. So we had some good players, although he also left us when we started struggling. So it's kind of like, the Bundesliga was star-studded at the time. So,
absolutely right. I agree. And Bodo Ilkner was an outstanding goalkeeper, as you said, who also went to Real Madrid. Bruno Labbadia has gone on to become a very good coach. And you mentioned Pablo Thiem. I guess as a defensive midfielder playing alongside you, you would have got to know him very well, and also a fellow African as well. And really nice to hear that going to Ajax, because that's obviously a very massive era in your time. And again, if you could talk about a couple of highlights, maybe some of the players that you remember, and also maybe a special match that you had with Ajax Amsterdam. Are they really such an exciting and a spectacular football club to be part of?
Now time for a short announcement. If you love Borussia Dortmund, why not join us for a live game and have a couple of Dortmund Union beers at the Stammtisch meetup of the official Borussia Dortmund fan club in London? We meet on match days at the Fitzroy Wine Cellar on Cleveland Street. For more details, head to our Facebook page or give us a call on 07459-394-121. And now, back to the show.
Well, I shouldn't talk much about Ajax, because otherwise we won't be able to finish the show, because there's so much when you play at Ajax, especially during that generation. It was like going to school. It was like going to school every day. We're learning something new. The kind of football they play there is kind of like a football. That's actually where I developed my philosophy as a coach, because I found out that the players might not necessarily be extremely talented with ball manipulation like those of us who come from Africa, but they have been taught football in certain ways, how to move, how to do this, when to do that and that, and in combination with what my colleague does while I'm doing that. So it's kind of like that. Ajax, and I really am thankful to them, because till today, they still invite me over. They stopped during the COVID, but then every year you get one or two invitations, you have to come watch a game. And then they interact with you as an ex-player, you give your opinion, and, you know, things like it's, and you're treated like a member of the house, you know. When it's my birthday, I get messages from them, happy birthday, you know, things like that. And when my book came out, they asked me to send in two of them, and then they shared it with the fans. So it's a club. I don't know of the experience of others, because people always say what they want, but I look at from my own personal point what I see. It's a club that they have treated me well. All my life I've been there, I've been respected, and I really like this club. And
you love Ajax, absolutely.
Well, most of the clubs I play for, I love them, really, because I have great memories from them. So.
Yeah. And you played in a great team with guys like Erwin van der Sar, and also Frank de Boer, Winston Bogart, and also the amazing Patrick Kluivert as well, who of course went on to play in England as well.
Sorry to cut you short. The most intelligent, because I didn't answer that question you asked me. The most impressive players I played with at Ajax. Mm-hmm. They were Michael Laudrup. Mm-hmm. Because he was an exceptional human being, exceptional footballer.
Denmark international.
Yeah, but also down to earth. With all the success he had, he was mm-hmm. always down to earth. Mm-hmm. Of course, Tijani Babangida, who is now a lifelong friend and the people call him my partner in crime, because I never accept negative comments about him, and he doesn't accept about me even when I'm not there. Yeah. So it's like that. Yeah, and also the little kid who's now a top coach now in South Africa, Benny McCarthy.
Yeah,
we had some great players, and there was so much fun in the dressing room. It was always fun and laughter. It was a great time. Those 2 years went fast.
Yeah, and you were very successful as well. I mean, you played 54 games, and I believe you scored 9 goals as well. What was your favorite goal for Ajax that you scored? Can you remember?
Oh, I think the one that I'm emotional about was my first goal, which was, I think, adjudged as the goal of the season in Holland at the time. It was the opening game we played at the arena versus Vitesse. It was the third goal of the game.
Vitesse Arnhem, yeah.
Yeah, Vitesse Arnhem. And I think I struck the ball from almost 30 meters from goal or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it beat Westerman, who the eventual goalkeeper for Liverpool, mm-hmm. into the net. But it was a very special goal because it was the first goal game my son was present in the stadium.
Wow!
He was just some months old then.
Yeah.
And my wife had brought him to the stadium to watch the game. He was barely 7 months, 6-7 months old. So. It was, in fact, if I want to be precise, he was 8 months old when he came. So it was really, that was a special goal.
Very, very special. Yeah, absolutely. I can well imagine that. And I mean, you certainly made an impression because only a few months later in 1999, the great Juventus came knocking for you, which at that time they had players like Zinedine Zidane. And I actually went to the Germany 2006 World Cup, and I saw Zinedine's second last ever game in that World Cup on the pitch. And I remember I brought my binoculars with me because I wanted to follow every detail of Zinedine's amazing skills and ability. And you also played alongside Edgar Davids there as well. I guess that Juventus, I mean, that's, you know, along with Bayern and Borussia Dortmund Manchester United, those are some of the biggest clubs in Europe, basically, biggest clubs in the world. So what was your experience, essentially? I know that it was something of a disappointment for you, but, I mean, to have played at Juventus must be a very, very huge thing, I think.
Well, at the time, you could say I was disappointed because I didn't get what I wanted. And I detailed it very much in my book because of, just to get rid of misconceptions. Mm. But if you, I'm totally grateful. It was a great time. It was a great learning process for me. Mm. You know, to know how humans are, how to handle those people. And I think it's bound to happen. I played in 8 clubs in my career. You cannot be happy in every one of them and be a hula hula. So, but the pleasure of having had to be coached by Carlo Ancelotti, a great coach, and also to have played with Zizou for a whole year, and also to have known him as a human being, you know, and also to see how even the ones that are not really the greatest human beings you want to meet, but you find out that wow, human beings can be like it. Okay, so you have to learn how to handle it. But it's a great learning process, and it's a lot of what I use defensively now as a coach when I was coaching or when I do coach.
Yeah.
And some of the things I learned from the Juventus defensive style, you know, the priorities we have to set as a group, and, you know, and the way the players defend, especially to, because then we used to win 1-0. We close the door. Once we score, we close the door. The Italian way. So to be able to do that, and I, when I was coaching in Holland, it was what I used, and it gave me so much success because I was able to take the team from second division to the first division. So it's so it's kind of like, although the players played, they didn't know what I was doing with them, but I was just borrowing from some of the tactics and, you know, just, well, so it's, I really have no regrets at all playing for Juventus. In fact, very few players in the world, people die to play for Juventus.
How did it feel for you to be signing for Borussia Dortmund? Did you feel somehow it was a huge club to be joining at that particular time? Or was it like, did you feel ready for the experience of joining with guys like Jürgen Kohler and Andy Müller and so on?
Monumental club, great club. I still believe they have the best fans in Germany. I know Bayern Munich fans will disagree, but as far as I'm concerned, the Dortmund fans are phenomenal. I love playing in the stadium. Each time you want to get out of the dugout, it's almost the same kind of setup you get when you're playing for the Nigerian national team. You come out of dugout and your fans go crazy. So I really loved playing there. The fans were exceptionally good towards me. Unfortunately, I was not able to work under Ottmar Hitzfeld because the coach then was Matthias Sammer. He was the one who was starting it up. So he was just starting up as a coach. And Dortmund was rebuilding when I came in. They had just narrowly escaped relegation, you know, just before I came in. So they were like rebuilding financially. They were were struggling also. But the fans were there. And it was really, really great, you know, playing for that club. And what made the club so special, especially the first 2.5 years, was, and I explained it in detail in my book, was the atmosphere among the players in the dressing room. It was just crazy. It was no surprise we were German champions, because the atmosphere could only make you win. We had players who were open, funny. We saw a funny side to everything. Sometimes Matthias Sammer got angry as a coach. He left the dressing room, and we laughed at ourselves because we just behaved stupidly. You know, we didn't take it like, you know, something like that. And everybody corrected themselves by making jokes about it. So, no, I really enjoyed playing for the club. I enjoyed it.
So, yeah, we're talking about the first season, 2000-2001. As you said, it was a challenging time. However, Dortmund had extraordinary achievements behind them. And working with Matthias Sammer, I've talked to some guys like Niklas Jensen. I don't know if you remember him. He also
The left footer, the Danish guy.
That's right. And also Andre Bagdolmo as well. And they said to me that Matthias Sammer wasn't the guy who had a great sense of humor, to be honest. He was a very perfectionist. But then Delron Buckley, who I interviewed a few months ago, he sends his greetings to you. Of course, Delron, who's now coach of Maritzburg United in South Africa. And he spoke very, very highly of you. He said, Sunday Olise is the most professional guy I've ever played alongside. He was the most serious guy, the most professional guy, totally focused, and absolutely committed on getting results every single time. What made you such a serious competitor, Sunday?
I hate losing.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from my current days that if you want to succeed, you must have a method on the way you work. It's, success does not come by mistake, especially sustained success. So I learned also that, and also, I saw in my lifetime, I explained it in my book. Sorry, I have to refer always to the book because there's a lot about myself in the book. I explained it also from my past that I saw hardship as a kid. I saw what it was like to be hungry. So for that reason, when I got the chance to be able to do something about it, I don't believe one should joke. And I feel that it's time to work, it's time to work. And I'm really grateful to God for giving me that knowledge and that methodology of thinking, because today I have food on the table. It's thanks to the way we handled our careers back then.
So. Absolutely. And funnily enough, another guy I interviewed was Jörg Heinrich, and you joined.
He's a crazy German.
That's really great.
Yeah, Jörg.
A really good guy, right? Yeah, I really enjoyed
with
him. Yeah. And you had a fantastic shirt at Borussia Dortmund, this black and yellow stripy one.
Yeah.
A very, very nice one. I guess you kept one of those? You kept a Borussia shirt from your time?
Well, all those things are all locked up in Africa or with my wife. So she handles all those that section. So
let's talk about your second season, where you're playing alongside guys like Jan Koller and Tommy Rosicki. Marcio Amoroso, I mean, is also an absolutely amazing, but also Jens Lehmann, who went on to be part of the Invincibles team of Arsenal. What was the special memories then of your second season, again, working under Mattia Sammer? Marcio Amoroso had an incredible season, scoring 18 goals. I mean, he was really a top guy, but the guy that every English BBB fan knows well is Tommy Rosicki, Little Mozart, they used to call him. Is that a name that you guys used, Little Mozart, or was it our nickname for him, his fans?
No, it was your nickname for him, because at Dortmund, the guy who made us click was Amoroso.
Yeah.
He was Amoroso. Tommy was very good. Jan Koller was also very good. But we had sometimes we played with 11 internationals.
Yeah.
That's how solid Dortmund was at the time. But the guy who gave us that edge was Marcio Amoroso. There were certain games that, you know, we struggled, and you know, I was very close to him as a friend also, and we still are up till date. And he just says to me in the dressing room, "Look, Sonny, you guys just do everything possible to make sure we don't concede. I will score. And eventually the guy will deliver. And he did it. So many times. We had this private discussion so many times. At the end, he didn't even have to tell me. He just looked at me in a way, and I knew what he was trying to say. Like, look, you guys, seal it up behind. I'll get a chance. And the atmosphere in the dressing room of Dortmund, you know, was so international. And so in that season, 2001-2002, it was so phenomenal. Like, after the games, we went celebrations privately. The players would say, look, it's barbecue at my place. Okay, we all go there. You know, we go in a group, you know, the groups and all that. We did a lot of things together. Okay, guys, we're going to eat a restaurant in Dusseldorf today. So we all head up there, you know. So it was
great.
It was great. And the atmosphere was so good in the dressing room. Of course, it's not every player that was in the group, but we had like majority of the players. And that made that edge. So when things were going bad, everybody had the other ones back, because you also fraternized privately. So the Dortmund and the fans helped us a lot. Whoa, the fans were always behind us.
But let's cut to the chase. You won the Meisterschaft 2001-2002.
Yeah.
Sunday Olise lifting up that Meisterschale. How is the feeling? What is it like for you to be champion of Germany?
Something I dreamt of in Köln, and I realized it in Dortmund, you know. And also the party afterwards with the fans in the stadium in the city of Dortmund, that was also phenomenal.
Yeah,
and winning the title for Dortmund when we beat Werder Bremen to win the title, and knowing that in the weeks after we're going to Rotterdam to play the European Cup final.
Yep,
against Feyenoord. You know, we had a spectacular season. We had an exceptional season.
That's right. And indeed, Bert van Marwijk would be joining shortly afterwards as your coach. Something the players always talk about, guys like Jörg Heinrich and so on, is this the warmth of the feeling of the fans when you're on this this open-top bus moving through to the Borsigsplatz, the celebrations when you're going through the crowds with the trophy. That experience for you, you know, you knew it from Africa, from winning the CAF, the African Cup, and But were you amazed at the warmth and the experience of being on that open-top bus going through Dortmund and hundreds of thousands of people? Can you remember anything special about that?
That's what I was just trying to say earlier, in the sense that the celebration was...
Absolutely.
It's exceptional. Exceptional. Yeah. The way, in fact, the whole city was just filled with people.
Absolutely.
It was just filled up with people. It was, you know, you see people walking around, you thought you were looking at a bag of rice that was just poured out, you know. and all you saw everywhere was just yellow, black, yellow, black, yellow, black. And, you know, people all tattooed, written everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Like I told you earlier, Dortmund has the greatest fans in Germany. Also, like FC Köln also. Those two clubs have great fans also.
That's really, really great to hear. And the Dortmund fans will love to hear that. And then basically, it's really amazing hearing that. I can't even imagine what it must be like to win this, win the Meisterschaft German. To be champions of Germany is a really big thing, because as you say, you don't get given that. You have to earn it really in sweat and tears, you know. So, I was interested to know whether you have any recollections of Otto Addo, because of course he was last season assistant manager of Edin Terzic at Borussia Dortmund, and has done a really, really good job as a coach. And I met him when he came to Derby County for the UEFA Youth League under-19s match the season before last. And he seemed like a very good guy, very down-to-earth guy, a fellow African as well from Ghana. Do you remember Otto Addo?
Yeah, of course I do. But at the time, Otto, we used to tease Otto, because Otto, we used to call him the German Ghanaian, because he practically grew up in Germany. The Ghanaian that we really were more interwoven with was Tanko.
Was Ibrahim Tanko.
Because Ibrahim Tanko, he was he's really the one that, in my opinion, of all the Africans, he's the one that is kind of like more emblematic with Dortmund, because he won the Champions League with Dortmund.
Yeah.
You know, and he was, and he's such a very nice guy. Ibrahim Tanko was, you know, so he's the one that we really looked upon as the African, you know. If you go to Africa, people know more Ibrahim Tanko, Olusegun Sunde, or maybe, you know, as the players, you know, Africans that are linked to Dortmund because of our past coming from Africa, you know. And
tell me briefly about the Riviera Derby against Schalke. Was that a very big highlight for you?
It's a game we never want to lose. No, they don't play with this game. So for that reason also, we also as players, we know we have to win it. And it was always good to be able to. It's special. Our fans find it special. So we as players, we know we don't joke with it.
Is it almost the most intense derby you've ever played in? Because obviously you've played in quite a few, like Juventus against Torino, for example. Yeah.
The problem with playing with Juventus and Torino is that the week you have to play Torino, you cannot go to the restaurant with your family.
Oh.
Yeah, because Torino fans will come to meet you there and they will trouble you. Not that they will attack you, but they will like telling you, look, on Sunday you guys are gonna lose, you know. they're gonna bother you all through. So it's kind of like that. But the Schalke, because they are both clubs in the same city. Schalke is still in Gelsenkirchen. We are in Dortmund. So that's what makes the Torino one a little bit more uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, absolutely. Yeah. What is the highlight of your Dortmund career, basically?
Winning the title.
Winning the title, absolutely. Yeah. Is there any particular match that you remember with great fondness playing for BVB, or a particular goal?
Particular match would be the semi-final. We played in the European Cup game when we played AC Milan in Dortmund. I was playing up against, we came up against AC Milan that were being coached by Carlo Ancelotti at the time. And my ex-colleague, the people in Zagi, was on the other side. So we had to win it. And we played probably one of the best football we ever played as a team, beating AC Milan 4-0 in our stadium. So in an emphatic manner. So I think that's the game that stands out for me.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. I mean, certainly Italian football has incredible pedigree. And even though the Serie A has declined a bit in recent years, it's been amazing to watch the Italian football national team improving so much for the Euros. So moving on swiftly then, therefore, to international football, Sunday Olise as a Nigeria international. What was your first, I should know this, I guess, but what was your first call-up for Nigeria, and what were the highlights apart from the Argentina game with the Olympics for you as a national team player? I mean, I guess every player, I've certainly seen that, every player is so proud to play for the national team, especially the first time.
Well, my first call-up was against Ethiopia, and we won it by 6-0.
I used to live in Ethiopia. How about that?
Yeah, in Lagos, we won that 6-1. And my last game was against the Mali national team, and we won that by 1-0 also. So it's winning to start, winning to end. And it's, playing for Nigeria is special. It's special. Playing for Nigeria practically changed my life. Because in my country, you can be a star in your club side as long as you've not really established yourself in the national team. We still don't see you as a star. That's the Nigerian mentality. So you have to, and being able to establish yourself and win several titles for your country, that even drives them crazy more. So that's it's. I am Nigerian first before anything else. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly you played some amazing games. I remember you talked a lot about your match where you played against Maradona for Argentina. That's
quite a good interview. Yeah.
He died, unfortunately. Did you feel moved when he died? Was it a big thing for you? Do you remember Maradona very well?
Oh, it was, when he died, I had a strange feeling. I remember I felt strange the whole day. You know, it's a strange kind of pain, sadness, you know, he's, of course, the negative people, like we always have in life, they were trying to like emphasize about the weaknesses of the poor guy. But I felt strange because he had given so much joy to people in his life, especially to his own countrymen. And it took football to another level. So it still hurts somehow when you see images of him, you know?
Yeah, I watched the Netflix series about him. My focus is on biographical writing in football, so obviously interviews with people like yourself are absolutely amazing, and therefore I spent quite a lot of time watching old interviews of you from, you know, different TV channels and so on. And I mean, I know that it's a very big highlight for you, that experience of playing against Maradona. What was it that made him so special as a player? Because you, as a defensive midfielder, you would be also focusing on holding these guys up and tackling and managing the pressure as well. It's a very important and pivotal position. It's one even that Borussia Dortmund, in my opinion, has a weakness in right now. So briefly to Maradona, and then maybe just tell us your feelings about the current Borussia Dortmund era in the last couple of seasons, whether you watch any BVB games and how you find it. And what do you think of guys like Erling Haaland and obviously Jadon Sancho and so on, the Borussia Dortmund recent team. So Maradona, could the guy be stopped when you were playing against him? Did you manage to tackle him essentially when you played in the World Cup against him?
If you decide to play clean and play like a gentleman, you have no chance against Maradona. And that's what I noticed the first 10 minutes of the game. He seemed to have eyes behind his head. So the only way to just stop the man was to play aggressive and use what we have that he didn't have, which was size, height, and the ability to not entertain jokes and just be very, very, very focused. Because one slight movement and he's given the pass.
Yeah.
He's gone. So that was the particular one. But as regards the other question you asked about Dortmund at the moment, for your notice, I hardly ever miss any Dortmund game. It's rare before I miss a game of Dortmund. So I always see most of the games. I do that for most of my former clubs, if I get a chance. Ajax, Dortmund, Köln, and even in the second division, FC Köln, I watch them, and the same thing applies to, but the fun of it is that the team now, they are very young. But what seems to not go down well with me is that I was a club now, Dortmund, I can say we as a club, Dortmund, we are not being fanatical enough about winning the title now. It's not becoming a fanatic. It should be a fanatical obsession to win the title. I think it bothers me to see Bayern win the league title for years, almost 9 or in a row or something. Something is wrong. And we know in Germany, the only team that can stop them is Dortmund. So yes, it's up to Dortmund now to bring back that fanatic, because in our time, we were fanatical about being champions. We're not champions. We all felt, it's been a bad year. Very bad year.
Sunday, what is your view of guys like Giovanni Reina and Jude Bellingham? How far can they actually go? And also Erling Haaland. How talented are these guys, basically? I mean, it's been talked about Jude Bellingham was the one player that almost every top elite club in Europe wanted, and Dortmund were incredibly successful at basically bringing him on board. But how good do you think this young generation of players? I mean, let's even mention Youssoufa Moukoko, who, of course, is a young guy of Cameroonian extraction as well. So following in your footsteps, basically, one of the great Africans of Borussia Dortmund. And I hope that he's going to go on to be as great a player as you were in your career.
Oh, thank you. Personally, I think these players, they're extremely talented. Because, but at the same time also, you can't just have youths all around and expect to have success. You need some maturity around them. And you also need some people, because it's no secret now. It used to be a secret back then. It's no secret that during our generation, we did not need Matthias Sammer to get us on track. We didn't need a coach at all.
Because wow!
If a guy was going wrong, sometimes we just closed the door, and we settled it in the dressing room. Players just told him, "Listen, the way you're going, we don't like it. It's affecting our development. It's affecting this. You know? And when he tries to go in disagreement, two other players will join, and then he will find himself outnumbered, and then they will really put him in his place, not physically but verbally. You know, and we used to do it a lot, and that helped us grow up maturity. And some of those players, it was funny when I saw them during their careers trying to imitate what we did and put players in their place. So and that made us champions, because there were certain games whereby players like Amoruso will refuse certain things and we say it in the dressing room. You know, without it, we didn't need a coach. Close the door and say, "Look, I'm not happy with this, you know. And players like Yildiz and Slimans will tell him, "No, we don't agree. It has to be like this because of this, you know?"
Right.
And those things made us click. So the young players do need maturity around them also.
So what I've got from you today really is a sense of Borussia Dortmund was an absolute highlight of your career. It's a club which you're very, very fond of, and where you feel that the fans are pretty much the best in the world, or one of the best in the world. That it's one of the warmest stadiums, one of the most amazing stadiums, comparing it to your experience playing for the Nigerian national team, the Super Eagles. Is that right? I got it right.
Yeah.
Super Eagles. Yeah. And you basically, I mean, I'm sure that, this era will remain. But what really is clear to me as well is that Borussia Dortmund is a, the passion and the way the players feed off each other and they play together, I can see, and I really hear this from you as well, that this young generation of the Erling Haalands, Gio Reynas and Jude Bellinghams and so on, when they click, when they really click, Dortmund can win the title, can win the Meisterschaft in the next few years. And, who knows if it's going to be Marco Rosa who's going to bring it. But basically, as you say, every neutral fan would love to see Borussia Dortmund win the title again. And what you are saying is that missing a little bit has been under Lucien Favre, the absolute hunger and commitment to win the title. which was there under Matthias Sammer and, of course, under under Thomas Tuchel when they won the DFB Pokal and so on.
Yes, but I must be honest with you. I don't think that's a weakness from Favre, because I find Favre as probably one of the best coaches to have coached Dortmund. I think it's something to do with the mentality. Look, you can talk as a coach, as a management, whatever. At the end of the day, you are not playing on the pitch. The players are playing.
Yeah.
So it is the players also, they really have to want it. They have to want it. And they have to want it in a way that is coming from them, not coming from the management. It's coming from them. They must have their own reasons. Like, we wanted to make history. And it's something that it's kind of like Jerome Beckley was telling you about. Personally, I wanted to leave my mark. I wanted to leave my mark everywhere I played, that I have to do something that nobody else has done. That way, I have to bring in the history books. And I'm blessed that God really helped me each time, each step of the way, do it in that way. So I think the players have to want to make history. And because Favre had very good tactics, and he's a very solid coach, in my opinion, and the way he's able to mix players together. But I think there has to be a combination of everybody has to go in one direction. We want to be champions.
Yeah.
You know, because at one point, I remember Dortmund 2-3 years ago, they were leading Bayern with almost 11 points.
That's right, at Christmas.
And they ended up losing the title. You know, so it's, you can see I follow Dortmund so fanatically. So I was like, for me, I was also about starting to celebrate the title before it happened. I felt it was going to be the year Dortmund was going to win it again. So.
I think it was 18-19, and I think it was a 9-point lead at Christmas, and we ended up coming second. We didn't lose by much the title, but those couple of years under Favre, they were very, very disappointing. I won't talk about Thomas Tuchel, but he really is an outstanding coach, and it's a shame it didn't work out for him.
But Tuchel was very, very much criticized also when he was at
Absolutely.
Dortmund. So it's nice. Now he's won Champions League. Maybe people will start looking at him from a different light. But I remember let's not go into negatives. But I think the important thing is that I still believe that Dortmund will get their act together, and when they do, they're going to be unstoppable.
Absolutely. I think that's the real ambition that Bayern has. They want to win everything all the time, and it's been very difficult. And a lot of people who say, okay, Dortmund are always also runs, I say to them, look, they're playing in a league with Bayern Munich, who's one of the most best-financed clubs that wins pretty much everything all the time. So, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to be German champions, as you said yourself, you've got to earn it. It's the highest level. Sunday Olise, what did you bring to your coaching experience? Dennis Rentenau was interested to know when working for Fortuna Sittard, you took them up to the Eredivisie. What's it like to be a coach for you? Is it very different than being a player?
It's totally two different professions. It's your playing career helps you a lot with credibility with the players, but that will wear off if you don't deliver, because it will just give you the opening, and then the players want to see, are you really what the hype? But I think the coaching itself, it's a job that you have to do more. You have to do more than just, I think it's more demanding now than it used to be in the past. Because in the past, you know, it was enough to get good players together, because football was more individualized in the past. But now it's a more collective effort, you know, with the introduction of the pressing game and the high pressing or the mid pressing or whatever. And as regards the collective ball possession status, you can't do ball possession or collective defending if you are not doing it collectively at the same time. And that requires a coach being able to have the knowledge and the know-how to mix the players and to create a playing philosophy that the players will enjoy and that will bring results. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of dedication. And I think it takes a lot of being able to look at the little things. And that is just my opinion. And the ability also to develop players, which is something I'm most grateful to God that he blessed me with, the ability to tell players and say, listen, this is not going well. Okay, after training, I'm sitting up with you half an hour. We're going to work on it, you know, and then you know, and do those kind of things. But sometimes also to pick up 3-4 players and say, look, everybody go home. 4 of you are staying 30 minutes more because I'm not happy with what you did this exercises. We're going to repeat it, you know. It takes a lot of work. I know sometimes the wife will get angry. You come home too late. But at the end result is something you sit back on and say, oh, thank God, it's worth it.
That's awesome. Well, I can imagine that you're one of the most rigorous coaches after hearing Delron Buckley speaking about you. I mean, his respect for you was enormous, and I'm sure that you could only want to send him good greetings to Delron and also to Niklas Jensen, who sent you a warm-hearted greeting there from Denmark. He's one of the top agents now in Denmark. So I hope that you'll...
Oh, great.
I'll send on your greetings to them. And for my part, I'm deeply honored to speak to one of the great Super Eagles, the champion, the winner of the 1996 gold medal in Atlanta, especially as we celebrate 25 years of that. And also to speak to somebody who won the Deutsche Meisterschaft under Matthias Sammer 2001-2002. Your feelings of respect and love for Borussia Dortmund are reciprocated. It will be great to see you,
oh, thank you.
In Dortmund again soon, perhaps with the Legends team. I don't know if you get the chance to play with the Legends team of BVB.
I avoid it.
Well,
I think we are too old. We should let the young guys do it.
Let me just ask my very last question on the way out. Which English team, obviously we're based here in England, which English team would you have loved to play for? I'm going to guess it would be Arsenal with guys like Immanuel Kanu and all those guys. But do you have a favorite team in England, or is it Manchester United or Everton or Newcastle United?
No. I think a team that I would have really loved to play for in England would be the Man City of today.
Of Manchester City?
Of today, because of the fact that... it's a collective effort. It's a collective effort. And my philosophy of coaching is somehow similar to what the coach uses there, but less offensive. So it's, you know, but you play with the quality of the players you get. So I think that would be it, because I really like the way they play football. It is football that is worked, prepared, not based on, you know, well, we have to buy this. Of course, they bought over a billion worth of players. But I think it's the fact, the way the players are being used, you know, movements, you know, rehearsed movements and all that. That's what makes it interesting.
Was there a special game here in England that you played in a stadium? You remember a special European Cup game?
Oh, the one I love playing was the one where we played Everton with Ajax. At the Everton Stadium, it was it was so beautiful, and the way we were able to, like, we won by just 1-0, but it could have been 5, it could have been this, but the preparation, the ball movement, the disposition of the opponent from having the ball, like we did the whole game, was just impressive.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Sunday Olise. Please tell us the name of your book again so that people can order it, and then also tell us where fans can reach you or read about what you're doing nowadays, perhaps on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere like that, or Instagram, maybe some account where people can check out what Sunday Olise is doing nowadays.
Well, the name of my book is The Audacity to Refuse. It covers the whole of my career. It covers my clubs that I played for. It covers the national team of Nigeria, the titles. And it also covers the difficulties I had, the problems I had, and the failures that I had. Also, it covers that all. At the moment, I am very active on Twitter because I find it more serious and more businesslike. I dabble around once in a while in Facebook because I have a lot of people who always ask me to. The book could be obtained either through my website, which is sundayolise.tv for television. And there it's just easily orderable, and it's delivered to your doorsteps when it's ordered. It's also obtainable from Amazon if you're far away from reaching us in Europe. And it's a book that covers, like, it has so many pages on Borussia Dortmund. It covers the first years, how we handled the dressing room, how we were able to, and also the difficulties I had. And it also, I made an apology in the book that I wanted to do for years. And I got the opportunity to do it by writing the book to Borussia Dortmund fans. Okay. So I'm not going to say what it is. You just have to go and look at it.
We have to do that. What's the Twitter account?
It is Sunday O Olise.
Sunday O Olise.
It's the only one. It's the official one. So you'll see it anyway. It's been verified. So.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, that's been episode 36 of the Borussia Dortmund Fan Club podcast. Today with Sunday Olise on the 25th year anniversary of the gold medal of the Nigerian national team. And what a really warm-hearted and a great human being. And he's also earned my respect, not just the respect of Delron Buckley and Niklas Jensen, but also my respect. Thank you so much, Sunday Olise, for blessing the English fan community with your presence today and having such a warm interview, really, really pleasant interview, amazing experience for me as a writer. I really appreciate, and I'll send you something to listen to, and I'll write it up as a nice interview for you to see. So thank you again for taking the time to talk with me. It's been very, very special, and I wish you great success with the book and also with your TV broadcasting and all the other coaching that you're undertaking in the next few years. Thank you so much. So feel